Hey, everybody, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope your 2018 is off to a rad start, you know? It's a new year. Lots going on. What a perfect time to hit the reset button, you know? You know, not on everything, but to step back, you know? I post-mated a Slurpee at 3 in the morning while I was high towards the end of 2017. And for me, that was a nice little check. A nice little check-in, you know. It's not a defining moment, or you know, it wasn't like, oh shit, like now, like where am I with my life? But a little bit, you know. I definitely walked into the bathroom, looked in the mirror, and was like, oh, that's who did that. Just so you know, you're the guy that chose to do that, and that's all good. I like me, but you know, there's some things I can improve on. We all can. So, but you know, keeping it constant. Let's just, you know, laugh, be nice to each other, give people the benefit of the doubt. That goes a long way. Anyway, enough Dr. Phil stuff from me, okay? Just try to see the good, okay, in people, and maybe they'll see the good in you. We'll be right back. Today's episode is a great episode because flipping the script, it's me and Joey McIntyre, my buddy Joey McIntyre, of course, from New Kids on the Block, Return of the Mac, the McCarthy's, your 13-year-old sister's bedroom wall. Joey interviewed me for his podcast, The Move, which you should check out. It's a nice podcast that Joe started up. Obviously, he's good at it. He's good at everything. And this one is specifically discussing people's moves, the moves in their lives. And, man, he really interviewed me, deep on this one. Talked about a lot of shit I've never talked about on the About Last Night podcast. So it was cool to go on that memory lane a little bit, and you know, you feel comfy with your buddy to open up. And it was a holiday episode, so Joey wanted me to, improvise a little with Santa Claus on the episode, so I did that too. So you get to hear my take on Santa. I had no idea. It's one of those characters. Sorry, kids, if you're listening, but that you, if you didn't get to grow up with a mascot, neither do the Jews. No, if it's one of those characters, though, that you don't think of what you think he would sound like or his opinions would be, or what if you were to improvise as him. You know what I'm saying? I've never done it prior to this in a sketch show or any stand-up, so it was interesting to see where my brain went. But I think it was pretty funny. Joey posted it on his podcast, The Move, already, and those Blockhead fans and even new fans of me were pretty pumped on it. So hope you guys enjoy this episode with me and Joey McIntyre. And tour dates. Holy shit, this weekend I'm back on the road, baby, in Oxnard, California at Levity Live Comedy Club. This room is the shit. Five shows, Thursday, two Friday, two Saturday, one Sunday, the 18th through the 21st in Oxnard, California, Levity Live, bringing Sandy Danto and Avery Pearson. Come out, have some fun with us. Going to be a blast. Also, tomorrow I'm going to be on the Adam... I'm sorry. Today I'm going to be on the Adam Carolla podcast, which I think will come out tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm also on the Craig Ferguson show on Sirius Radio. Craig Ferguson reached out and wanted me on, which is dope. I did... it was the only talk show I've ever done the couch on. So Ferguson going to be on his show on XM Radio tomorrow. And then I'll be on Kevin and Bean Thursday morning promoting my shows. Of course, Kevin and Bean, K-Rock here in L.A., but you can listen live, I think, at krock.com. Brad Williams this weekend's going to be at the Pittsburgh Improv Thursday through Sunday. Brad is just fucking grinding it, man. The road, nonstop. Don't know how he does it, but he does. 18th through the 21st, Thursday through Sunday, Brad Williams, Pittsburgh Improv. Get your tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. All my tour date information at adamraycomedy.com. And tomorrow night is a very big night. The next Adam Ray and Buddies at the Comedy Store. I've talked about it before. These lineups are always killer. From Kevin Nealon to Dana Carvey to Adam Devine, Joel McHale, Mo Collins, fucking Joe Rogan, Judd Apatow, Pete Holmes, Eliza Schlesinger, Nikki Glaser. So many heavy hitters have done the show. Dion Cole. And tomorrow night's lineup is amazing. Joel McHale, Adam Devine, Sarah Tiana, Todd Barry. He's never at the Comedy Store. He's doing my show tomorrow. And a few special guests. Kyle Kinane. One of my favorite comics to watch. He also rarely makes it to the Comedy Store, so this is going to be special. Kyle Kinane, Todd Barry, Sarah Tiana, Adam Devine, and Joel McHale. Come out. Adam Ray and Buddies, tomorrow, 8:30, Comedy Store, Main Room. ALN Podcast for Instagram and Twitter. Brad Williams Comic for Instagram, @FunnyBrad for Twitter. I'm @AdamRayComedy for Instagram and Twitter. Aylin merch, get it. You guys got a bunch for the holidays, which was dope. We got those sweats, beanies, and t-shirts at aboutlastnightpodcast.com/merch. Get it, wear it, love it, share it, give it as a gift, wear it at work. Who cares if it's not casual Friday? Fucking wear your Keep Common Dwarf on shirt. People will be like, that's a fucking cool, and there's a message too. All right, got a lot of great episodes coming up, some solid bookings for 2018. I will start teasing who those are in the next few weeks, but just stay tuned. All right, now we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Adam Ray and Joey McIntyre.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
We're in, ladies and gentlemen. As you know by now, there's not much of an introduction to the Move podcast. I have a very, very special guest. Happy holidays, everybody. It's, what would it be? It's close to Christmas, and
it sure is.
Hey, there he is, my first guest, everybody. He's super busy right now, and he's been so kind to take a moment or two. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, talk about a guy who needs no introduction.
I'll take one anyway.
Mr. Santa Claus.
Call me Chris.
Yeah. Saint Nick.
Oh, don't Chris. Call me that.
Call you Chris. Yeah.
Call me Chris Kringle. Yeah.
Chris Kringle?
Chris Kringle.
Is that a religious thing? Are you mad over the years that people like branded you a Christian, or are you okay with that?
Oh, wow. Let's just jump right into the religious shit. Look, Joseph, can I call you Joseph?
How did you know my name was Joseph? I didn't even...
Google.
Google. Even Santa uses Google?
Oh, Santa created Google.
Whoa.
No, that's a fib. That's a holiday fib.
Ah, where'd you get the name Google?
I did create the Blumpkin, though.
The Bumpkin?
Yes.
Really? I'm sorry, I don't know what a Bumpkin is.
Moving on. It's a filthy term, Joseph.
Remember, when Santa laughs, he just goes, ho, ho, ho. So beware.
No, it's been a busy year. Lots of kids, lots of odd gifts this year.
Really?
Every year, I tend to find myself in a situation where I go, I haven't heard of that toy before. But, you know, that's what the dwarves are for.
Wait a minute, are you in a situation when you hear the... about the toy?
Joe, I don't know if you've read,
or is the situation hearing about the toy?
I am 84 years old, so I...
That's it?
Yes, I've stepped out of the...
Wait a minute.
You know, I really only go on the last few days of present droppings.
Present droppings?
Well, that's slang
not a very nice
that's
way
slang
to say.
For dropping the toys down the chimney.
Oh, present droppings.
You know, consider me the old school Matt Lauer.
Oh, wow. Old school Matt Lauer.
Sure. I was giving out toys with notes first.
Wait a minute. This is a family podcast.
So, Joseph, basically Santa. Every year, right, I get probably 50,000 notes a day.
A day. Wow. Starting January 1st or December 26th?
All the way, nonstop.
Wow.
You know, people say Oprah's the hardest working person in the
big
world.
Person but, in the world.
Yeah, but it's... And look, I try to do my best every year. There's a toy, like I said, I don't recognize, but, you know, I...
What is that? What was the crazy thing this year?
Pull up one of my notes.
Okay.
Let's see here. You don't mind if I use my iPad, do you?
Well, your Google is,
Let's see here.
I can't believe you created Google.
Well, me and three other elves.
Why didn't you call it Kringle or something?
That's not a bad idea.
Where'd you get Google?
Dominic! Dominic's my main dwarf. I'm sorry, elf.
reindeer? elf.
I Dominic? Have a funny reindeer story, but that's
Dominic the donkey.
For another podcast.
No, that's the donkey. Dominic the donkey.
Oh, someone's
He's
been
an
reading
elf too?
There. Yes. There's all sorts of creatures in the North Pole, Joseph.
Excuse me, I have that holiday cough going on, by the way. So.
Whooping cough.
Whoop, whoop.
Is that where it got its name from?
So tell me.
So here's one example. Ready? This okay. is from Nathan, 7 years old from Tacoma, Washington. Oh. It reads, Dear Chris, and I know it's to me and not maybe his stepdad.
Okay.
Dear Chris, this year I would love a wagon, but one of those cool speedy wagons with the Razor scooter wheels on them. You know, the kind Will Smith drives. See, right away, Joe, I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Whoa.
There's no Razor scooter wagons. But, you know, I call down to the ale factory and tell them to whoop up a wagon with speedy Razor scooter wheels.
What, say that again?
With Razor scooter speedy...
Oh.
I call down to the dwarf factory. Did I stutter, Joseph? I call down to the dwarf factory and ask them to whip up a wagon with speedy Razor scooter wheels.
Rawr.
We can make anything in the North Pole. You remember when Double Stuff Oreos came out?
Yes.
We had already made Triple Stuff Oreos.
Really?
We're always one step ahead, Joseph.
Who got those?
We're like the colder Japan. Your voice is getting younger by the second, Santa.
Oh, there he is.
We're like a colder version of Japan, Joe. We're always a step ahead.
A
colder version of Japan.
Wow.
Because, you know, they're on the precipice of...
Everything.
Yeah. Anyway, it's been a tough year,
Who got the triple stuffed Oreos in the world? Was it some village in
Well, Mrs.
Indonesia,
Claus has a sweet tooth, so unfortunately, most of the cookies never made it out of the bedroom, Joseph.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's just say insulin is on her wish list.
Was that the only stuffing going on in the bedroom? PG enough for you, right,
no,
Santa?
Oh, yes, but no, it wasn't.
No coals in my stocking.
No coals
in
your... No, you've been a good boy this year, Joseph.
You've been watching?
I've been watching. I went to most of the shows.
Really?
Yes, I'm a big blockhead.
Wow. You know, there was a roadie on the New Kids tour that looked a lot like you, but was that you? Was that...
A magician never reveals his secret. Yes, it was me, Joe. Yeah, it was, yeah.
Wow.
Big blockhead fan, please don't go, girl.
Wow.
I know every verse, every lyric.
Well, I know why you love our songs, though, because it's a lot of ho, ho, ho,
ho, ho, ho, ho,
ho.
You guys just dropped a Christmas album.
You know everything.
Sure.
Yes.
I've got eyes everywhere, Joseph.
It's amazing. I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask you what your favorite new Christmas song is.
Well, there's one
I don't
called,
wanna...
Is it Thank You?
Oh, but it's all about gratitude,
yeah.
Santa. I know you're busy.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's going to fall through the cracks. 84, though? 84? I thought you were like a million in 84.
Well, that's the thing, Joseph.
Are you frozen in 84, or do you age? What happens?
I don't really age, Joseph.
Right.
I just kind of... Time goes by, and I kind of decide when I want to let it speed up for me.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Sure it does. Time is... It's all perception,
It's
right?
all perception. It's all relative. And
right.
also, the North Pole, there's so much happening that you just... Tuesday becomes Thursday, and Sunday becomes Friday.
Right.
Next thing you know, it's Saturday and Monday at the same time.
Wow. Speaking of the North Pole,
sure.
I know you know everything, but to remind our listeners,
not
this
everything.
Is called The Move.
That's, I am very
in,
humble. Oh, The Move,
in,
yes.
In the
my first podcast, by the way.
Wow. Who knew?
Not
Who
opposed knew? To other ones, Mark Maron, if you're listening. WTF,
what?
I haven't been asked to do yours.
Wow.
No, but this is the one I wanted to do, so
thank you. This is The Move, and I know it might be a touchy subject.
Sure.
But, you know, we talk about moving and what comes up for people when they move, you know, reasons of moving, relationships,
mm-hmm.
their
mm.
parents moving or divorcing or, geez, you
There's
know,
all sorts
refugees.
Of reasons.
I haven't
sure.
had a refugee on yet, but... But
no, keep looking. They're out there.
Yeah, they're out there, unfortunately. But unfortunate for them.
Yes.
I didn't want it.
Yeah.
Not meaning
no,
like, oh, here comes a refugee. That's unfortunate.
I don't mean that. I know you don't,
yeah,
Joseph.
Okay, all right. Thank you. See, he's the truth. So you guys know I'm serious. But a lot of people don't know this.
Sure.
And I hope this isn't... If you're not ready to talk about this, it might be emotional. Things might come up, and I understand. We can move on, but...
I said in my email I'm an open book, so
right.
whatever you want to ask,
well,
go right ahead.
You didn't talk about it, and you kind of glossed over it. Maybe it was for the kids.
What's that?
You're originally from the South Pole.
Sure.
And I know... Yeah.
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. This is tough. To put Santa on the spot and just, but do you want to talk about that and what happened and how it happened? And it's,
I was 10 years old, Joseph, and, just a young boy with a big heart and an even bigger belly. I was a fat kid, Joe. I loved treats. So much so that I got my first job working at my father's Twinkie factory.
Wow, South Pole.
South Twinkies. Pole, big Twinkie factory.
Well, frozen Twinkies are the best, so.
They really are, you know. Detroit's the home of
that was
cars.
Their, that was their plan, right? To sell frozen Twinkies.
Frozen Twinkies,
and then
yes.
they sent them, you know, up north.
Upstream,
and
yeah.
then they melted.
Melted, and everyone freaked out and said,
them.
This is how you're supposed to eat them. But they don't know that they're frozen and their best value. So my parents were both farmers. And then my father...
Twinkie farmers,
Joseph. And I was an only child. Not by choice. My mother had 6 miscarriages.
Whoa, that's not
That's
funny.
Heavy. Yeah. It's not funny. So to this day, I hang...
We don't edit this podcast, so that's going to have to stay in there.
It should. This is real stuff, Joseph. Yeah, I'm telling my story. Okay. So... I still
10
hang.
10 years old.
I hang 6 stockings every
overweight.
Year for all my unborn brothers and sisters.
Okay.
So, Joseph, I'm 10 years old and with no real direction. A lot of peer pressure. Everyone at school calling me names like Big Belly Chris and Kid with a Beard. And
Kid with a Beard. Oh,
so no shoes. Were... No shoes. Dipshit, you know,
oh.
We couldn't afford shoes, Joseph.
Wow.
Many kids couldn't afford shoes in the South Pole.
You hadn't had the big black boots
Look, the
yet.
South Pole is like the Compton of
poles.
Of the poles, and right. North Pole is there's the Beverly Hills, Joseph.
Right, okay.
And I came up in a very rough neighborhood where there were a lot of boys my age, my size, my skin color, rapping, and... Not presents, Joseph. Music. Trying to become the next big thing. But, you know, as luck would have it, no one ever big came out of the South Pole. It was tough. Nobody ever thought you could move out of there, Joseph. Reindeer would come and go and drop little nuggets of, not wisdom, but actual nuggets of just because everyone figuratively and literally crapped on the South Pole,
right.
Joseph. We were the ugly stepchild. With a bad haircut.
Wow.
So I grow up in this
and
backdrop
and early,
of a...
early facial hair. Like, what would you
I'm
call
the only
it?
Kid
early,
with,
but
like I'm the only kid with a Fu Manchu, Joseph.
Prepubescent facial hair.
Postpubescent. I had pubes before people were talking about shaving.
Wow.
So I go to school every day. Teachers think I'm a substitute teacher. You know what that's like, walking in the 5th grade and them asking you what the assignment is?
Wow.
So I started to pretend.
Yes.
One of the teachers didn't show up one day, Joseph, and I assumed responsibilities of the classroom. Mm. And that's when I knew I had a gift to give, something to share with the world.
How'd you get them on your side, the kids?
Cookies, Joseph. I bribed them with cookies.
Sugar and cookies.
Oh,
cookies.
Most people, Joseph, at the heart of their core, will do just about anything for a cookie. So I gave out a bunch of cookies, said, here's the homework. There is no homework. And everybody cheered, high-fived me, hugged me, pulled my beard. For good luck, Joseph. I said, rub my beard for good luck. Now, in hindsight, might be a little inappropriate and probably some paperwork to fill out. But
in this day and age, yeah.
Sure, especially. In this climate especially.
Yes.
But back then, anything goes.
Mm.
So I quit school. I drop out. I say, you know what? My purpose and path is bigger than this South Pole elementary school. So I get on a train. Train, and I say that
right.
with quotes because,
okay.
you know, trains, it was one of the second string reindeer, Joseph, named Train.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just like the North Pole reindeer, Donner, Blitzen, cool names, you know.
His name was Train.
His name was Train.
Wow.
So, because everybody took a ride on him.
Wow. Okay.
Anywho, okay. He wasn't doing much, so I said, you mind taking me up to the North Pole? I... I heard that's where all the hoopla happens, where all the dreams are made, where the big success happens.
The
so,
big time.
The big time, Joseph. Mm. I was playing open mics at a Pizza Hut, and I wanted to do Carnegie Hall. Does that make sense? You're a Broadway fella.
Yeah.
So I hop on train, and look, it wasn't a long journey, but it took longer because train only has two legs, Joseph.
Two legs.
A two-leg reindeer.
Wow. Wow.
Almost like a black Asian dude, you know? You just don't see him very often.
Don't see him very often.
So we get up to the North Pole.
I hope you know a black Asian dude.
I do, Tiger Woods.
Oh, hey, there you go.
Booyah.
Booyah. Bang.
So we get up to the North Pole, and I'm a kid in a candy store, Joseph, but I'm also a fish out of water.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm a little intimidated. You remember the first time you moved to Los Angeles from Boston? You must have freaked out, been like, wow, this is where Diana Ross lives. More or less. You were intimidated.
It's a good analogy.
It's a bigger city, a bigger setting.
Different names.
Different names.
And places.
Danny Bonaducci lives here.
Closer.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I get there and no money in my pockets, no shoes on my feet.
What was it?
Plenty of Twinkies in my mouth.
Wow.
Of course.
Twinkies for days.
Before I left, I'll never forget what my father said. Chris, you son of a bitch, get back here. And then I took a couple Twinkies off of his nightstand and walked out the door, Joseph.
Wow.
And that's the last time I saw my father.
Wow. Wow, that's...
To make a long story short, Joseph, I get to the North Pole. I meet a man named Stan. Stan the Man, as he referred to himself.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of was like Slugsworth from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, but nicer and less Jewish.
Mm.
And so he tells me, well, there's a toy shop opening around the corner if you want a job there. Long story short, Joseph, I get a job as a night stalker. Then I get promoted to manager. Next thing you know, I'm running the store, telling the elves what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. Next thing you know, I open my own store. My own toy store, Joseph.
Wow.
Me, Kris Kringle. Twinkies in my mouth, still no shoes on my feet. I developed a severe case of athlete's foot, Joseph.
Is that the Twinkies Toys store?
Yes.
Twinkies Toys.
You've heard of it.
Yes.
So the toy store flourishes. Kids come in nightly, daily. At first, we're only open till 5.
There's kids up there?
There's
a lot of
kids in the North Pole.
Really?
It's full of kids, Joseph.
Wow.
Mostly midgets that are adults, but that look like kids. But there's a lot.
Small people.
Small people.
We call them small people.
You can, when you're in the North Pole, Joseph, anything goes.
Mm.
It's such a collaborative, accepting, warm community of
I know a friend. One of my good friends.
Yes.
Has a good friend.
Really?
Who's a small person.
And I'm
friendly with that small person. But my friend...
Right. You're right. Little
thinks
person.
Thinks because he knows a small person
he
or a little person,
it.
He can say midget.
You know what I mean? I understand that.
From what I hear, you're not supposed to say it. But this other guy thinks he can just say it because he's got a friend.
This other guy sounds like a real dipshit.
Yeah. And not to interrupt you.
Sure. So I open the toy store.
Wow.
Kids come in. Every day we sell at least 50 toys.
Wow.
And then it hits me. Why should only the kids of the North Pole get these toys? What about the kids in Burbank, California?
Go big.
Or Tallahassee? I'm sorry, you're allergic to boring stories?
Yeah. No. This is good. You're finishing up, though, right?
Anyway, and that's when Christmas hit. It hit me. Christmas. You know?
Chris.
And somebody said, so there was a little Spanish boy named Juan Pedro II.
Yes.
And he comes up to me and goes, Chris. I give him a couple toys, a couple Twinkies, and he goes,
Mas?
Yeah.
And I go, what did you say?
Mas?
Amazing.
Chris. Mas?
Nice.
Mas Twinkies, I think, is what he meant.
Yes.
But I heard Chris
right.
Mas,
yeah.
And there you have it. Christmas.
Wow.
That's the story, Joseph.
Wow, and the rest is history.
I guess so.
Living history.
Yeah.
It continues.
And now Mario Lopez stars in a different themed story every year on ABC Family that has nothing to do with the story I just told.
Oh.
But he's a good guy.
Should we tell him? Should I tell him?
Mario, if you're listening.
Yes.
I can't say anything bad about that guy. He's got the body I've always wanted.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I was going to do a segue before when I was talking about that guy,
sure.
Santa, the guy who knew the guy, well, who I was talking about.
Sure.
We have two guests tonight, ladies and gentlemen. This today, whenever you're listening here, is a good friend of mine. And Santa, can you stick around?
Of course. You
well,
want me to... Can I go grab a drink real quick?
Well, no, you
I'm
can
a little
stay
parched.
Here. Well, we have two. We have another chair.
Sure, I'll just scoot just over.
Yeah, just scoot over.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, go get a drink.
Let me just go get a quick little eggnog.
Okay, all right. Come on back. Come on back.
Because
I want you to meet our next guest.
Okay.
Okay. Santa Claus. That was riveting stuff.
That was incredible.
I did not know. Well, a lot of people, ladies and gentlemen, my next guest, and because I want to get your take on Santa.
For sure.
My good friend.
A lot smaller than I anticipated.
Smaller?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, like there's certain actors, like people say, like, oh, Tom Cruise, I didn't expect him to be so...
Right.
Yeah, 5'4"?
I mean, he's like as wide as he is tall.
For sure,
that's what makes him
but
so
a big presence, you know. Certain people just have an aura to them, you know.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, actor, writer, funny man, comedian, good friend.
Great friend.
Great. That is true. Great friend.
Come on, man. You sang at my sister's wedding.
Yeah, you say great, it becomes...
Yeah, you're right. Just say
you know
good.
What I mean?
We
People
know
throw
we
great
are.
Around.
Yeah, for sure.
Good is more genuine.
For sure.
Adam Ray, everybody.
Thanks,
Adam
buddy.
Ray. Adam Ray. You get the first round of applause
nice,
on the move.
Dude. Big fan of the move. Listen to all the eps.
Oh, thanks, man. You were a...
nudger.
A nudger, yeah.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. The amount
Adam,
of time
I'm thinking of doing it. To it. That's not. That's
that's
not
what
very,
I sound
no,
like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, obviously.
Yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Well, it goes with. I mean, look, dude. The amount of. I haven't told you this. I think after. Well, the amount of times you've done my podcast about last night, and then the amount of times I heard you on Stern, and just like you know, you drive. Certain conversations, and you're just a good riffer and conversationalist, and it's like, and so when you're talking about it, I'm like, yeah, and then I'm before I can even say like, oh, do you have like a theme or an angle, and then you tell me this whole breakdown, I'm like, okay, well now there's no reason to not do it,
right?
Because you pretty much thought about it
a little bit. I feel like at this point, it's just something for me to, you know, it's a commitment to hold.
Yep.
At this point, I'm not trying to. But it's nice that people enjoy it and might get something out of it.
Are you getting good feedback from the blockheads?
I think so,
yeah.
I'm not a huge interactor on,
right.
You know what I mean?
But when you post about it.
When I see them and when I see people when I get it, I read.
They die hard.
It seems like people are digging it, so. Yeah.
I was talking to some, there were many blockheads at when I went and saw you. By the way, if you did not see Joey McIntyre and a funny thing happened on the way to the forum, I feel bad for you.
Thanks, buddy. That was fun. Yeah.
Yeah,
just
dude.
Did three
it
weeks.
Was a little more than fun. It was like, oh, yeah. Like, I mean, look, performing on stage as a part of the New Kids is one thing. But then, and then like acting in movies and acting on your show. And then this, completely different skill sets.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm sure you don't think, you're just like, you've done, being on the stage, I'm sure, like, you know, has its own familiar vibe on any stage, but then like there's so much going on in this show. This isn't just it's not like you were just like, yeah, I'm doing a play. Like, it's a musical where there's so much happening.
Yeah.
You're an integral part. I mean, every moment is dictated and relies on the next moment and the previous moment,
right?
And the fact that you said you jumped in like 3 weeks prior or something.
2 weeks actually. Yeah.
Wow.
I had 2 weeks to learn the show. Yeah, yeah. But
bonkers. And I want to know, and not to flip the script interview you, but I do want to know, and I'm sure your fans want to know, and I really want to know, when you got asked for it, was there any part of you that was like, oh man, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. And then because of that feeling of, oh man, you were like, nah, I got to do that because I'm a little trepidatious.
Right. Yeah, do the stuff you're scared of.
Yeah.
A little bit. I mean... it was just heaven sent. I feel like, in a way, it's like I was ready. You know, actually, Santa mentioned really briefly the it was the kid's card about Will Smith, you know? And Will Smith, because the kid, Chris, who wrote a letter to Santa Claus, said, I want a wagon.
Oh, yeah. What was that? I'll tell the story again. It was, we wanted a wagon with a speedy razor scooter wheel.
The kind that Will Smith
has, apparently.
Right.
But also, Will Smith is just one of those celebrities that has access to toys we don't even know about.
Santa, I want you to meet Adam Ray.
Ho, ho, ho. Is that how you say hello? Oh. All right. Where do you meet this guy, by the way?
That's Santa. That's a real Santa.
Yeah, but like, where do you meet Santa?
Where do
like,
I meet?
Is he just chilling in everyday life? Well, I was at the Coffee Bean.
No. You don't have a talent booker for your podcast?
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, I usually just do it.
You just do it?
Yeah.
No, I got a talent booker.
You have
booker.
A talent booker?
Yeah, yeah.
And he reached out.
And I said, you got to be kidding me. He was like, just an email. Hey.
What was his email?
How about Santa? Are you up for, you know? And I was like, you crazy.
You up for Santa?
Well, he wouldn't give me. He's not, the booker's not going to give me the direct email.
Yeah, yeah,
so.
Yeah. He put you in touch and then just said, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
I'll tell you my email. I'm not afraid of that. People send me messages. I'm always looking for you know, constructive criticism on the presents.
Really?
I do most of the rapping myself. Bullshit. Yeah. It's true.
Watch your
email
language.
Me.
Watch your language around
at Cookie Man Twinkie Fat. At chriskringle.com. Oh, wow. Is that really your email? Try me. All right.
Twinkie Man.
Cookie Man Twinkie Fat?
Cookie Man Twinkie Fat. Wow.
I better not get any weird pop-ups.
He's, Santa, that's your first eggnog. So easy. Easy on the eggnog.
Don't tell me how to live my life, Joseph.
Yeah.
I'll take it easy.
Actually, let me taste. Can I taste some of
sure.
that?
Sure. Yeah, homemade.
Beautiful. Let me see. Oh,
Mrs. Claus. Special recipe. There it is. Throw one back for the kids.
Oh, ooh, that's like, you know what, Santa? Can you grab me one of, do you mind? I mean, I know you're 84 going on 1.5 million.
Thank you so
much. Yeah. Couple, you
I use L'Oreal skin cream.
But in the,
oh, that
in the
is
eggnog?
Good. What are you using what? That? A little bit of rum, a little bit of root beer, and a little bit of Diet Shasta.
What? Diet Shasta, that gives it the fizz.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
People forget about Shasta, Joseph.
Will you grab me one? Grab it, Adam.
Sure.
You want one?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I'll have, actually, give me a shot, and then... And then just get me, give me the eggnog by itself.
Okay, whatever you say.
Okay.
It's, I got to be honest, as a Jew, I'm a little starstruck.
Really?
And I didn't think I would be, like meeting. Because look, I grew up in Seattle and my folks, when they were together, we did both, you know? Because my dad's not Jewish, mom is. Uh-huh. And so we did both. And then when they split up and we moved out of the house... The first move, I don't know how you break it down. Do you with asking about the moves? You went
right.
all the important moves,
the moves
or what?
Well, you know.
Anyway, I never thought I'd get to.
I don't have much of a commitment to the theme of this. But
okay,
now I have a. But no, I want.
Well, we can go back to you and the musical too. I want to. Yeah, we'll finish that first.
F the musical. Right. I mean, love the musical.
Yeah.
F it in a good way.
Yeah.
Like in
all
in,
I got to
like,
say
all night long
is your.
No, it was great.
You're
it was a
going...
lovely, lovely thing. It was very important to me. Funny thing happened on the way to the Forum is the first musical I ever saw, and my mom was in it at the time. My sisters were in it at the time. It was at the Footlight Club, which is the oldest community theater in America.
Yep.
And it was a beautiful experience. So when he asked me to do it, I was like, pretty much I'm in. You know what I mean? I took a moment because I practice like taking a moment even if I think I want to do something.
Yep.
And then I called my wife and when I told her I got like teary. Because it was at the Gary Marshall Theater as well. And Gary Marshall, anybody who knows him and got to work with him, he's a prince, dude. He's a prince. I wish you were able to work with him. He was Did you ever...
No, I just heard nonstop stories
Prince,
of just, yeah.
Prince and funny and just one of those guys you're like, wow, this guy likes me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he
and
loved
he just,
you.
And he had a huge heart and he made a ton of people feel that way. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's like he made so many people... And he loved the theater. He loved the live stage and that's why he built the Falcon Theater in Toluca Lake, which is in Burbank.
Yeah.
Right by all the studios. And when he passed away last year, they renamed it this year... The Gary Marshall Theater, and it's a new, you know, not-for-profit theater, and a new, it's the same family, but it's just like engaged a little bit more, and it's, you know, so to be able to support that, and like, especially before I moved to New York, was really, really special, and really important to me, and, you know, I didn't...
Did it ignite the fire?
Well,
dude,
yeah.
You are, I saw, on my last trip to New York, I saw two Broadway shows, and like, dude... You get like you're in that you're in that world. Like you're just as good as those people that are
thanks, man.
On in the you know, in the big time shows.
Thank you.
Yeah, but you know that.
Well, no, I mean, I know that my heart's in it, and I know that I've done enough to, you know, be in that category. And so I've, if you can earn something like that, like I've earned it or I've done the
fuck
work.
Yeah.
And you just at a point where like, all right, here I am, and hopefully I'll get the right opportunities, and we'll see what happens.
Well, it's like Santa was saying. Santa, what were you saying about Joe? Well, I was saying that for Broadway musicals, you're the triple threat, Joseph. You can act, you can sing, and you're a draw.
Yeah,
people want to see you. They want to see Joey McIntyre.
Well, it's funny
in a show.
Well, you say
David Hyde Pierce, also a triple threat.
Now I know you're really Santa because you tell the truth. Because I'm Broadway, you know, triple threat. A lot of people would call me a triple threat. Or people, you know,
that's what I just said.
No, but if you sing, act, and dance, not draw.
Not draw like calligraphy.
Right,
like,
I know, but you're a draw. No, that's separate.
In.
That's not part of the triple threat.
I think it is.
No, I mean, that's
why do you
makes
think I got turned down for the role of Tevla? Tesla? Who's the main Jew in Fiddler on the Roof? Tesla.
Tevia?
Tevia.
Yeah, something.
I didn't get that part because I couldn't draw.
You got to be, you know, there's a triple threat on
I get
Broadway.
What you're saying, yeah.
The standards are very high, you know, so dancer.
You can
means,
dance too.
Well, I'm a mover on Broadway. I'm a mover. I'm a good mover. But like a dancer, you can do splits and like spins and all that stuff. Now, some people on Broadway would go, shut up. Don't say that. You're a dancer.
Yeah.
Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Fake it till you make it. But like, I'm just trying to respect the amazing dancers on
of course.
Broadway. And there are some people that can actually do all three like that.
Is Hugh Jackman one of them?
No, he would be a mover.
Yeah.
He would be a great mover. A great mover.
Yeah.
An amazing mover, but not a...
It is rare.
But many people would call him a triple threat.
Yeah,
yes.
Because he's Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. But most people know that. But I'm just saying sometimes, you know, and it comes from, I'm a little, you know, the backstory on that is, and I kind of agree, but I did an off-Broadway show called Tick, Tick, Boom, and at the after party afterwards, or around the closing, we were at a bar, and there was this older couple that probably had money and invested in stuff and just part of the community. And they said, yes, you're very good. And they was like, oh, well, are you a mover or a dancer? And I'm like, what? I never heard that term before. So I was like, what? Yeah, dance. No.
Are you a mover
or a dancer? Do you dance? You know. And I finally caught
on.
I was like,
smile while you shake.
Well, yeah, I guess whatever. Anyways, I did the, you know, right stuff dance for them, and they were like, no, you're a moot. No, I'm kidding. anyways, enough about me.
Well, you crushed it, and I was legitimately like, it's rare that you go.
It's a great role. It's the role of Pseudolus, which is.
Yeah, but also let me say, it's rare to go to anything because we're just, like, we just both see so much and we're around it.
No.
To see something where
you
go,
coming,
where you're, A, have a connection to what you're seeing, and then also, anyway, man, I was inspired. Like, made me want to get back on the stage. You know? So.
Adam. Thank you for talking about me.
Yeah.
Okay. But,
all right.
You know, I don't edit these podcasts. Okay.
I love that too.
So we got to.
All right. Here we go.
You know, but, let's talk about some
let's
moves.
Talk,
let's
yeah.
talk. Maybe
let's
we'll,
talk
get,
about some
we'll
moves.
Get a little bit into that. So maybe, you know, sometimes I say, well, should I say your first move, your last move, your next move? Okay.
But I love that.
So your first move was when your parents.
Yeah, let's get right into it.
That was the
first move that I remember of some magnitude, right? Because obviously there was a move from probably my first parents' house to the house we were lived in that my dad chose to be the backdrop for his marital affairs. But yeah, first real move was moving out of that, I guess, was them. They split and then and my mom's like 9 years old. And my mom's like, oh, so you and your sister and I.
When I first moved too, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big, it's crazy to move, like it is.
Just turned 10, but anyways.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Looking back, it is such a, I get, that was the perfect age to not really be too fazed by it. Like I loved the house I was in, but also, and even when they were getting divorced, I was like, oh, we still get to see dad? Like, that was my outlook. I was like, oh, well, then what's the big deal? He's just not going to live with us? Like, I didn't really get it. It's kind of the perfect age. So, folks, if you're listening out there and you're looking to split up, make sure your kid's at least 9 years old.
Right. After that, you're horrible people. No, I'm kidding.
No,
it's a horrible
sucks.
Thing no matter
Either
what
way.
You have to
yeah.
do. Yeah.
But I was oblivious enough. And the move was, and also I think credit to my mom, she made it, smooth.
Right.
And also was still with my sister. And the house that she also got too was, I mean, God, looking back, I mean, she told me it was like $1,200 a month or something. She had to borrow some money from my grandparents.
That's a lot better.
But it still was like a house. It was much smaller than what we lived in. And it was in a neighborhood that was very close to where we were. And I was still going to my schools. So that was huge.
Wow.
So it wasn't a big, so I had my same friends and, you know, Cub Scouts and sports and and even the neighborhood I was in was kind of cool because it was exciting because it was all people that I went to school with of all different ages. Like, I remember getting hit with snowballs by kids that were in high school, and I would play basketball with them, and then they would hit me with snowballs in the winter and call me a little fat, you know.
Yeah.
But then I also had kids my age, and then there were kids younger than me. So it was really cool to move. It was just
nice.
Yeah. Also, I think, I don't know. I mean, I think I was just also born with this. You know, and I think it's how I am still today. Like, if anything crazy, like, I can just find the bright side of something. So even then, I was just like, oh, cool, a move, like a change of scenery. Like, that's fun. I didn't look at it as, like, bummed out. But also, probably because I got to keep my base, you know?
Right. So that softened the blow.
Yeah.
But what do you think, where do you think you got that, you know, sunny side of the street thing?
Oh God, probably. I mean, I was thinking about this a few months ago. A lot from my mom, and then I think also a lot from, I think, observing like the negativity around me, like whether it was my folks fighting or my sister and mom. Once we all lived together, they got to be at butting heads hard, and my sister kind of got in some trouble and, you know, ended up stealing my mom's in eighth grade. And this is when there was just my mom and I, and then this was the next move, setting up this sister, you know, not just fell in with kind of the wrong crowd. It was one of those things where she didn't make, you know, she was also a pretty popular kid and real athletic and was on the basketball team with all the girls that were doing well and real social and popular, and then didn't make the team eighth grade year, and then they just fucking shunned her.
Oh.
And then she was like, well, I'm in eighth grade, I need a group, right? Like, you need people to clamp onto.
Right.
So she clamped onto the kids that like smoke cigarettes and skip class and all that. And and then she ended up, my mom calls me and goes, hey, so your sister stole the van, took all your clothes, all my cash, and I think she's with her boyfriend driving to Arizona. So they stopped her in like Oregon.
And, your clothes?
Yeah, my clothes for her boyfriend. So he's got like all these Alonzo Mourning and Gary Payton jerseys that are way too big for him because I'm a little chub.
Oh my God.
And so anyway, so then it was, so because of that type
Alonzo
of stuff.
Alonzo Mourning in Seattle?
I was just a basketball fan, dude.
Like Charlotte.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
So because of that type of stuff, I think I just go, oh, well, I observed early on that my mom, it was really out of that, I think. It was like seeing how upset my mom was a lot, and I was like, well, she's, my dad's making her unhappy. My sister's causing some stress. Least I can do is just be upbeat and positive. So it was almost out of default.
Yeah.
But also, life ruled, man. I get snacks. I get to play sports. Like,
yes. I mean, those are part of your survival skills. It kind of, I get it.
But I definitely think that's what turned it up a notch. What was like, all right.
Where you,
do your job. Don't
I'm
also
gonna
be the third.
And put it to work.
Yeah. And be the one thing that that cannot be a bummer for her, maybe. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think, you know, that's a mama's boy.
You know,
finest.
A lot of people grow up and then resent the fact that they had to be that, right? But
yeah.
you don't.
Probably suppressed a lot. Who knows?
Well, no, but you shine.
So.
But there's a thing. There's something there that really, though. I mean, a lot of people can be exhausted from doing that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of people can bring that into their lives. You know what I mean? In different ways. And you don't seem like you've done that. Like the light has not gone out because of that situation.
Yeah.
You know, and it seemed, I don't know, maybe it's just altruistic or maybe you were just born that way and that's, you know, or you just grateful and gratitude. I mean,
and I think that's it too. And also I think you just, you look out, at all the other situations and, like everyone's got their problems, man. It's like nobody is like every family, every
you know, I mean, last time we were together and we're chatting about some stuff in both of our worlds, and it's like, you know, and everyone's got something that's you wish could be fine-tuned right. a little bit or right. smoothed out, you know?
Yeah.
But, hey, man, like, in comparison, like,
sure,
come on, you know? So, and then I think I've just probably tried to, you know, then obviously stand up and the creative world that we live in, tried to, you know, have, you know, use that as an outlet.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen some of your stand-up.
Oh, Santa.
I don't know if you've really... You
come right behind him there.
Sorry, yeah. I've had three or four eggnogs and I was YouTubing Adam Ray's stand-up. Just, and,
don't surprise,
maybe,
you know.
Maybe you should have gone through like some that. Tougher stuff because it's really just kind of... Okay, dude, that's
Santa,
enough,
Santa,
man.
Santa. Yeah, yeah. Bathroom's right over there.
Thank
I can tell.
You.
Yeah, don't you shouldn't hold yourself.
Do you
like
have
that.
Any just, extra pants?
No, just go. No,
Jesus, dude.
Wow.
You let him into your house like that, huh?
Well, Santa. I mean, you,
he
you
smelled
think
like booze when
would.
I sat down. By the way, you good on time?
No, I am good on time. But speaking of, speaking of my kids and having kids,
yeah.
and
I don't know how you
setting
do it.
Boundaries, you know,
I don't know how you do it
without them really being scared of you. You know, we were scared of our parents.
Yeah.
Where they're our kids aren't scared.
Why is that?
Well, because we can't kick them in the ass and or spank them or shake the shit out of them, as Chris Rock would say. We can't
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah.
You know.
Because what, they're, are they...
It's not good to do. I mean, you know.
I think there is... I mean, I think the spanking should always be a part of the equation. Just because I feel like that's the only...
I know.
That's but, the only way that's like...
Well, you can't yeah. really say that publicly because, yeah. number one,
it's so stupid.
If I did say that, know. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing
I
is,
know.
You know, so...
So trying to find that balance of putting laying down the law.
Partly, it's I think it's just really being clear that that behavior is not cool, and also taking some stuff away and taking opportunities, because I'll speak for my kids, they're very privileged, and I think there's a lot of them, you know, that I think kids these days, quote unquote,
yeah.
you know what I mean, we've been saying that for thousands of years, but you know, you gotta set boundaries and say this is not cool, you know what I mean, and saying, you know, you can't expect, you know, to have all these things and not be respectable.
Yep.
And not be respectful of that it doesn't just happen.
Yep.
And I know they're good kids. They're really, really good kids.
Yep.
But at the same time, for me, you got to set boundaries, you know. So, and I'm not perfect about it. And it's a struggle. And you just, it's a day at a time. But like, I'm about to go to New York for 4 days and then back home in Boston for like a week and a half.
Without them?
And it can be a... No, with them.
Oh,
and it
wow.
can be a real shit show. It can be awesome.
Yeah.
But it can be a shit show.
Yeah.
So he just did something today that was like, you know, no. It was nothing, you know... On video, it was nothing. But it's
yeah.
just the look and like, you know, give me that look. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. That's not how... Don't talk back to me every time I say it.
Wow.
No,
yeah.
no, no, no. You know, so.
You also do probably have that flashback of like, man, if you only knew.
Yeah.
How this
I mean,
dealt
I was,
with.
You know, my parents were cool. Yeah. I think my dad spanked me twice. My mother, whatever.
At least you had
she
a dad to spank you.
She didn't have to, you know? She didn't have to. I mean, I was the youngest, so I didn't get the brunt of what. You know, my siblings got. But anyways, I just, you know, it's tricky stuff, dude.
Are they pumped to move?
Yeah. By the way, I'd be shocked if you ever spank your kids. If
yeah.
When you have kids. You'd be like, oh, no, I'm not. What did I say? No. You'd be like, no, I didn't say that. So anyways,
yeah.
But that's, I got that text and I have to lay down the law
yeah.
In a little bit.
Do you want to call him live and deal with it on the
oh,
podcast?
Yeah, he'd love that. That would be awesome. I mean, I'm already saying too much. I'm
no,
like, you
you're
know,
not.
It's not cool for me to put it out there because he's a good dude and works really hard. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's like they work really, really hard and they're like good kids.
So you kind of want to
do the
give,
work.
Yeah.
And so that's what pisses me off is that like I got to do something like important to make a point of it.
Yeah.
And I'm so mad that he did that because no. And that's why so many parents pull back on it because how can I, quote unquote, take away Christmas, you know? I'm not doing that.
Wow, yeah.
But like,
well, maybe.
But I open my mouth. I never go back.
Why would you take away Christmas, Joseph?
Santa.
First of all.
That was not the bathroom, by the way.
Oh.
That was my bedroom.
I will be right
Come
back.
Okay. Yeah.
You said take a right, then a left?
Use the bathroom.
Upstairs or downstairs?
It's same floor, thank God. I don't want you doing either one of them. Okay? All right. Okay.
I think...
he's out of his mind.
But I did, because I was like, okay. And it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's humiliating, because I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to take something away now.
Yeah, which is, what do you take away?
Baloney, because they don't care.
Yeah. Oh, really?
They don't care. And you look like a buffoon, but at least you're making some...
Yeah, you have to make an
attempt.
Some
boundary.
Yep.
And then it was like, I called my wife, and he was about to do something tonight. And I was like, it's either tonight or Christmas. And she's like, Christmas, he won't care. Because it's true. He's going to get stuff from Santa. You can't pull that plug out. You know what I mean? And then
that's
we're going to get him some.
Right? And
yeah.
As a parent, you're like, dude, you just don't even want to see the look on his face.
Exactly. So, but he is going to be crushed because this is something important. And it has to do. And in a way, he's worked hard for it. But I can't do that.
Yeah.
If I let it go.
Guess what, dude? I remember
like
getting
New
stuff
York
taken
can
away.
Be a disaster.
Yeah.
If they'll just keep going.
You're making the right move.
They're begging you to set a boundary.
Yeah.
They are saying please, and you know the evidence is that they will respect you.
Yeah.
When you set the boundary.
Yeah.
Eventually, they'll quiet down and they'll respect you and they'll love you for it.
Yeah. They will.
That's my two cents. That's the imperfect dad monologue.
No, you're doing it right.
By the way, I said we were at my house.
Yeah.
We're at your house, actually. Santa doesn't know where he is, so I just said,
dude,
whatever.
He is on another level
and,
right now.
We are. This is your setup.
Yeah. Thanks for coming over.
And that's why you're giving the interviews. You think you're interviewing me. This is my podcast. I should not be talking.
All right.
Just because you're a good interviewer, dude, doesn't mean you can ask questions.
Away. Ask away. I talked a lot. There's a good balance going on.
So, but you did do the first move.
All right, the first move. The second move, this is a big one because this was... Now it's just mom and I, and now this is sister's gone, and now this is.
She was gone in ninth grade, like gone.
Ninth grade. She was gone for 3 years.
She was older than you.
Yeah, she's 2 years older than me.
Okay, so she left.
And now this
year?
She left when I went into freshman year of high school, so she wasn't even there my first 3 years of high school.
Right.
So eighth
she
grade.
She was like 16 when she left.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So eighth grade summer. She bounces and now high school's coming up and in a way it was kind of
no clothes.
I got no clothes. I'm wearing my mom's blouse and killing it. And it was crazy because it was just my mom and I and we had and you know, and my mom is just, you know, you met her, she's just full of life and like real personable and everybody loves her, pudding so we had about five or six of my good friends and their folks basically help my mom and I. My mom and I, we went through all our shit. And we just had everything from the big house with my dad in the smaller house. And it was just all kind of shoved in there for about 3, 4 years, 5 years actually. And now it's just my mom and we need to move to another house. We moved to an even smaller house, just my mom and I, not too far again, staying in the world of, so I could still, you know, be with my friends and whatnot. And this is why this move is so integral to my entire life, because at this time when my sister, they picked her up, she ran out of gas in Oregon, and they picked her up, and my grandparents were like, what are you going
to
do?
She was going to Arizona.
Going to Arizona, start a new life.
It's in Oregon.
Yeah.
She only made it that far.
Only made it to Oregon, yeah.
Wow.
And the original Oregon Trail, yeah. And and so my grandparents were like, send her to a school. Like, my mom was like, I don't know what to do. I think she's going to not... be alive if I like she I can't I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
And so they sent her to the school, so it's my mom and I.
Parenthood, my goodness.
And and so my grandparents were like, fucking come move down to Oklahoma. Like, you and Adam come down, like, we'll take care of you. We'll like put you up in something.
Wow.
Like, and just be here. And like, we want to see you. Like, do that. And my mom, to her credit, like goes, no, Adam has like a good foundation.
Wow.
He's got like all his shit here. I don't want to do that to him. Otherwise, dude, I don't know where I'd be. If I went to Oklahoma, like, my grandparents lived there. My mom's from there. Aside from that, they had a cool place for brunch and bingo that I remember back in the day, and a place called Brahms for ice cream. Other than that, fuck that place, dude.
Yeah.
So my mom goes, no, I don't want to move Adam. So we had
when the Supersonics moved, were you like, fuck, I should have moved to Oklahoma, Ma?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. I was.
So, wow. So she was like, no.
I'm not going to move. So then her and I...
Wait a minute. So that was a part of the plan of bringing your sister down?
Yeah.
Oh, so bring them all down.
Yeah.
And we'll just check out.
Yeah.
And that, so that didn't happen now.
And then send sister away. And now it's just mom and I. And so six of my friends and their parents helped my mom and I have a garage sale and then move all our shit. We did like one weekend and we just had all these parents in their cars and just taking loads over to the new place and moved us into this new spot. And that's where I basically did high school, just my mom and I. And it was like, I mean, talking about formidable years and just like, you know, where it's, you know, my mom is my best friend, but also my enemy because it's just her and I. She's playing both roles. You know what I'm saying? She's making my lunches, but also being like, do you need condoms? I'm like, and I'm in this weird spot where I'm like, think I'm a man, but
no,
I also.
No, because I won't get an erection thinking of you asking me if I need condoms.
Just now you saying it is now going to take me a year to get that sentence out of my head. You know, rest in peace, every boner from here on out.
Oh, my God.
And so, and you're in this weird place when you're, I'm now what? This is 16, 17, 18. And so I'm in the spot where it's like, you know, like, mom, can you make my lunch and like wash my jersey for basketball? But then like, give me some space.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like you need her, but you're also like trying, you're like, I'm my own person now. I'm an adult.
Yeah.
But that spot, that move was just so, it was also really, seeing like people come to my mom, like, you know, you don't realize how devastating like her being a single mom and going through that shit with my dad and my sister and then like moving and she's like, I'm just going to stick it out for you. But again, maybe like me being this glass half full kid, she was like, all right, well, fuck it. He's like, he's making this not so terrible, you know, so let's stick around. And I think she also liked the community people I'd met. And
yeah,
but to see people rally around to like move us like that was really like that whole move. Like, a move is a move, but, like, I remember
that whole weekend
of, like, people taking trips over, and then, like, we all, I think, went out to dinner or something after that, and it was just, like, a really, like, I remember even in, what was it, 14, but I'm still looking around all these people, and I'm like, this is crazy that they all just, like, dropped all their shit, and, like, they recognized, like, oh, his mom's going through some shit.
Right.
This is a unique situation. They were all parents with, you know, happy marriages and kids, and they just kind of stepped up. And
there's something about, speaking of that though, there's something about helping someone move, because they say it's the most stressful thing. Number one most stressful thing is moving, right? So to help in the most stressful thing ever is huge, right? And you do remember that, you know what I mean?
Also, because you're best buds and their parents, and you're
I
like,
I know
they're
a couple
in your
of
house
that
taking your
move.
Shit,
yeah. Like years ago, and like I still owe them, you know.
Sure,
it was like a pain in the ass, you know. But there's something about like those extra move things, and I finally paid it forward to someone else, my buddy David, who was on the last podcast.
Oh, nice.
And it's nothing, right? It's just it's being of service and helping out, but when you're on the other end of it, it really means something. It's just very clear and just.
So the stakes.
Powerful.
Totally. Yeah. And I think also just emotionally, there was just a lot, like, you know, we had moved into this house. It was the end of my parents' marriage. Now we're moving out of it. And now it's the end of like, it's like we kept, you know, it was like a reality show. Like dad got kicked off the island. Then now it's just mom and I.
Wow.
Now I'm thinking if one more move happens, is my mom going to fucking bounce?
Yeah.
You know, then who's going to move me into a, you know, into a Suburban in a Denny's parking lot.
Right.
I don't know where I'm living.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So it was just like there was so much involved in that move.
Yeah.
Aside from just changing locations.
And you're older now, so it's a
and
little bit
And I'm starting
more
high
heightened.
School. You know, it's just like,
high school. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was probably, I mean, look, then the next move is from that place down to Los Angeles, which is probably the biggest move, obviously, because, I mean, I'm going from home to now home, you know, like, I don't know how long it took you, but like probably 2 years or when my first year at USC, when I went back in December, I wanted to come back home because I was like, I don't like it there. I just like, I had a girlfriend, we were doing long distance. She was in Santa Barbara. I jumped right into a musical my freshman year. So I had acting class 9 to 6 and then rehearsal 6 to 11. I was doing How to Succeed in Business without really trying. I was ensemble. Fucking, I was a great shaker, just fucking smiling. The director was this guy, Kelly Ward, who was one of the in Greece. He was one of the, not the Pink Ladies. Who were the other guys? The Lightning Bolts. Who were they? The Leather Boys. The Greasers.
Greasers?
Right?
Is that the Outsiders? No. The Greasers? No.
Danny Boy? No.
Socias and the Socias and the,
yeah.
Yeah.
Jets and Sharks? No. Who was a... Yeah,
Grease Lightning. You know, I don't know. Yeah. Greasers.
Tommy Bahamas. Anyway, so they, so he was one of those guys, and I remember freshman year pitching him an idea, right? For like, I had this idea, a gag, and I remember being like, "Hey, Kelly, you know what would be super funny?" And I remember telling one of the older people in the show, and they're like, "You should pitch it to him." And they're just setting me up to get, you know. And I go, "I go, hey, Kelly, wouldn't it be funny if just like." Like somebody, there was a trap door in one of the scenes. I can't remember what happened, but I go, wouldn't it be funny if like the two like girls in the dance number crawled out of the trap door, and then all of a sudden I came out of the trap door, like in full like just in normal street clothes as like a guy, and just like kind of dusted myself off and went like, oh, that was weird, and then just walked off stage. He goes, why would we do that? And I go, I don't know. It was one of those things like in, remember in Wedding Singer when he goes, what's her last name? And he's like, Giulia. He goes, oh, I said, she's going to be Giulia Giulia. That's funny. And he goes, why is that funny? He goes, I don't know. You know, like just, it was but anyway, so I wanted to go back and then after just one semester, but like it took me probably
that
2 years.
That bit getting shot down was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Dude, after that I went back home being like, nobody thinks I'm funny.
Gold.
I can't impress the members of Grease.
Oh my God.
Travolta's best friend thinks I'm a douche.
After 2 years in college.
This was one semester. But I was saying like when I felt like LA was.
But a lot happening. Yeah.
Because obviously I think that's the biggest move because that's obviously where I've been for 16 years now.
Yep.
But it took me, I think, 2 years to be like, this is home now. You know where like you land back at LAX and you're like, oh yeah, this is where like this is A, I'm pumped to be back.
Yep.
And also too, it's the going back home for the holidays and you see less and less people. People start to change. You start to like that aspect of life, like you just can't prep for. Like I'm telling friends of mine now, or even like, you know, my nephew just and he was asking me like how many of my buddies do I still keep in touch with? And I was like, back home, and there's maybe 4 or 5, maybe 6, but like a few that I see every time I go back. But it used to be like, you know, you get back and we're planning so many things, and it's just, and then all of a sudden it just starts, and you're like, oh, I guess that person I spent like my entire childhood with, I just don't see anymore.
Yeah.
Like, just like that, right?
Yeah.
Or you have one hangout at a bar, and they're like, I'm telling you, man, like, Trump's really, like, there's some really, like, you're not looking at what the real game plan is. And you're like, all right, dude. Okay, bye. We'll see you when I see you, man. Good luck with that website. How many kids you have? 9? Shit.
Oh, my gosh. I understand. Los Angeles felt like home to me, like, in a big way. And you can't.
So intimidating,
you
too.
Yeah, I mean, I came out here with a gig, so it was nice, and I jumped right in and met my wife fast, and you know, had my ups and downs, but
coming here with see, I can't.
Well, I guess, listen, because I came here and I was like, "F LA," very early on, and then
why
you come here for a couple of auditions and it's no man's land,
yeah,
because it's so big and it's so spread out,
yeah,
and you know no one,
and every day you see another person that you're like, oh, I gotta maybe compete against that person.
Oh, even, it's just on and on and on. Yeah. You know what I mean? And especially if you don't get your game together, and then like, and then. But, and I said, I would never move out to LA without a gig. And that's what got me out here.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to come out here, and I poo-poo a lot of reality show stuff, but I got, I was a guest on Hollywood Squares.
Wow.
And I was one of the squares and whatever. And you know, I often roll my eyes at that because I'd rather be doing a play or a movie or a TV show. I don't want to be doing stuff like talking head stuff.
Yep.
But
they were only getting legit.
That's why
people.
I was here.
Yeah.
And when I was here, I got, you know, within a day, I did 3 auditions for David Kelly for Boston Public, and I got the gig a couple of weeks later, and I moved out here, and the rest is history.
Oh yeah, because all you guys are all everyone else is back east, right, or Florida.
Yeah.
The other new kids.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was in New York.
That's so funny. I never knew what got you out here. I think I just assumed. Wow.
That was it. Yeah.
You're right, though, because if I didn't have college to bring me down here. I would have moved down. I would have gone to University of Washington, done the theater school there. I know I would have come down, but dude, it would have. Who knows if I didn't stay a couple more years and put it off because. Yeah. But and look, doing the acting school at USC here was great. But then when you graduate, it was almost like starting over again because now I'm in LA because I never.
How long did you? Now were people saying like, dude, listen, just get ready to start over, or? From what I hear, every senior feels like they're going to rock the world, right? I mean, you throw that cap in the air and you're like,
you're like,
I'm
ready to go.
Slay it.
You're like, let me just get in the mix now. Let me get in those rooms so I can book.
Right.
I don't need to learn any more Shakespeare.
How long?
Fucking, I don't need Shakespeare at CSI.
Yeah. How long does it take till you go, oh, shit.
Oh.
About what? 6 months it wears off?
Well, after I graduated, I went with a group to Edinburgh to do the Fringe Festival in Scotland.
That's nice.
For 6 weeks.
Oh, good.
So I didn't even have any time to really
process. So you're riding
the wave.
Yeah, that's great.
And then
great
I got back, and then it was just like, oh, fuck.
About now 2 weeks, you were like, it's coming any minute now. Yeah. It's coming. And then
I'm going to ride that Scotland little vibe and come back. I've drank like new types of beers and ciders and like, you know, made out with a Scottish chick and like it was super unattractive because, you know, hearing her kind of moan with that accent was really gross. And then I get back and I'm strap up the claws and I'm Wolverine at Universal like 2 days later. And it's just like, oh, gut check, you know.
There you go.
And you're looking in the mirror being like, I got to get out of here. But yeah, intimidating. I can't imagine just moving down here. That's why I have so much respect when I hear about people that... Like yourself, I mean, like, you know, you came out, you had a gig, but
well,
still,
I had a gig.
Yeah, but still, like, it wasn't like they were gonna go, hey, Hollywood Squares,
fine. You're being nice. No, it was fine. There was not a lot of stakes. My stakes were personal stakes. Yeah. You know, you either want to, you know, surprise yourself and shock the world, or you don't. Yeah. You know what I mean? And, now I'm just, you know, in it enough to know that I love to do what I do, and it's like, what's the next project that will, you know, inspire me? But, you know...
But even, like, New York, you wouldn't go to if you didn't... If, you know, obviously, the family aspect helps, but, like, it is also very conducive for what you're
doing. What I love to do? Yeah. It's a lot of reasons, but that's definitely...
Like, if all the family was in Omaha, I don't know. Would you go?
Would I go to New York without family?
No, would you go to Omaha? If that, like... Because that's a big part of what you're going over there, right? Having a lot of family over there?
Yeah.
Yes and no?
Yeah, no, family. Yeah, being closer to
but
Boston.
But also, you can, like, there's still a lot of...
Yeah.
You can get fulfilled.
And California is burning down, so I want to get out of here before I melt.
Yeah,
so, I mean, frankly, you know, and the traffic is crazy.
It is
crazy.
And
it's getting worse and worse, and I don't know where the cars are going. I don't know where they're going.
Yeah.
And they're spending $1 billion on a subway that no one's going to ride. So I don't mean to be, you know, Debbie Downer here.
No.
I feel for you.
Bill Burr has a great joke about the population problem. He's like, a third of people just need to walk into the ocean and fucking say goodbye.
Well, there's going to be 10 million people and 10 billion people
by
in
what?
Like 2040 or 2050 or something like that. Yeah, it's crazy. It's already 7.5 billion people right now.
Yikes, dude. Well, maybe I'll move back to Seattle.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, that's part of it.
But there's
honestly
a bunch of people there,
there's
too.
There's more shade up north, I'm just saying. The sun is a little less hot. Even on a 70-degree day here in L.A., you're in the sun. It's like you're an ant and someone has one of those.
Magnifying glass.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
By the way, I'd be a great charades partner. Because what you're doing right now could have been anything.
Yeah.
You could have been holding the...
Frying an egg, or holding a
magic wand.
A magic wand.
You know?
Yeah, a conductor stick thing. Yeah.
What's that? What is that called? A conductor stick?
We should know that. Look that up.
Yeah. Conductor stick thing.
Oh,
boy.
Oh,
so many...
Here comes Santa. Sorry, we didn't say... It, but you know Santa created
conductor
Google?
Conductor stick thing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right, dude?
We still don't know. He's
I
too
also
drunk.
I created Napster and MySpace. Hey, do you know... Hey, do you want to hear a quick joke? Why did Tom from... What? So, Tom from MySpace and Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook walk into a bar.
Yeah.
And Tom looks at Mark and goes, hey, aren't we friends? And Mark Zuckerberg goes, fuck you. comedy's not my strong suit, Joseph.
Santa, I didn't know you swore. That's
dude, just tell
cool.
us the conductor. What is it? The conductor stick. What is it called, Santa?
A conductor. It's called a A baton.
A baton. Well, that makes
sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. Thanks,
Can
Anna.
I use your bathroom again?
No, you need a couch.
Okay,
just down the hall. And
dude, he just fell asleep standing up.
Standing up. Wow. He's just going to roll over. It's not going to... He doesn't have far to go. Yeah.
What would...
He leans forward so it'll fall on his gut. You know, he'd see how he's like sort of tilting like Michael Jackson and Dirty Diana.
Yeah. His balance is actually phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah. So he just does that. And then like if he falls, he's going to go right on his gut and he won't get hurt.
Did you guys ever...
He will fart though.
For sure.
Yeah.
You don't sleep standing up and not just rip ass.
Well, when he falls on his gut, it makes a big fart.
Yeah,
sound.
It's almost just like letting and out the whoopee cushion.
Yeah, and then Mrs. Santa knows. Oh, there he is. I'll bring him to bed now.
Yeah. Although eggnog farts, the worst. You know.
Yeah.
But also holiday farts, like what you know. A little. There's always a little more like leeway during the holidays. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like people are just accepting.
Yeah. Thanksgiving.
Like,
dude. Yeah.
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 Would you And you also asked, like, where would I move to?
This is officially a two-parter, I think. No, that's the great thing about podcasts is that... Yeah. No, they just pause it. I'm not going to do...
Dude, but it's you and me. They're going to listen to... Come on, dude.
That's right. Hey, dude, it's gold.
How often does this happen?
They're going to not want it to end.
Yeah.
Where are we now?
I get so many blockheads coming to my shows, by the way.
How many minutes?
We started about an hour and a half, maybe a little more.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Flew by, huh?
Not an hour and a half. No, you get the counter there, don't you? No?
Well, we started around 4. Oh, no, maybe it was like 4. What was it? Close to 5?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe... No, about an hour 15, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right.
Well, your last one was what? The move? Because I do want to answer this.
First, you last... To? What's your next move?
Well, being in New York the last 2 weeks.
You coming, bro?
Dude, I would love to.
Really?
For a gig. Yeah, dude.
Oh, for a gig. Yeah.
I love it. I've built, dude, 16 years here. Like, I've just, there's too much I've built up.
No, you're in, yeah.
But
in.
But for a gig, yeah, dude. I mean, like.
For a gig, yeah.
Yeah.
What is there?
But also, just now that you're there, like, for sure, I'll be making more frequent, like, not just for shows, but, like, I'll be making, like, just straight up more trips because, there like, you know.
You work enough and you tour enough that, you know, that
could
finally work out. That'd be great.
Also, a lot of LA comics do that. And just, you know, there's, you know, just to go for a week and do shows and be out there. And there's always.
Is there a place?
Maybe get on a maybe anywhere. Do a show with you, you know? Who knows?
There we go. Double trouble.
That'd be pretty dope, actually. That I would come to New York for.
What is there?
Do the Odd Couple.
Like a play. That'd be awesome.
Fuck yeah, dude. Are you kidding me?
We'll find a two-hander.
Be dope.
All right. Is there a place anywhere where we'd be like, okay, if it had nothing to do with career or family or whatever, is there a place where you would,
Man, is it a place I've been to? Well.
Maybe you've been to, or you long to see.
Well, I'm going to Australia and Japan in January.
Oh, nice.
With Adam Devine to do stand up.
Oh.
I've never been to either.
That's amazing.
Have you?
Yeah, I've been to both. Yeah.
Wow.
Wonderful. Yeah, I haven't been to Japan in a while, and I'm Jones, and we were. Yeah.
You thinking about moving there?
No. But.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. So Italy, I would move to for a little bit. But also, it's tough to answer that because you're like. Would it be like? I can't imagine not.
What's your
being
favorite?
In a place.
One of your favorites. We won't. You know. You can't get into trouble.
Well, I studied abroad in London, so I'd maybe go there.
Excuse me. Hi. It's Mrs. Claus.
It took long enough with the pizza.
Pizza. This guy's a shit show, man. Good thing he's got the day off.
No, hey, everybody's good. He's human, I guess.
He's a human, yeah.
He's a human.
So he works, you
People
know.
Got issues.
I work just like everybody else.
Did Jesus, he say dude. Elves?
Yeah.
Did I work for
everybody's elves?
Everybody's elves. City in the States. That, that you just like.
Boy, you know what? I like Arizona.
Really?
Yeah, I do actually.
What's
my dad? Actually, my dad moved there after they split, and so I went there to visit a lot. Scottsdale, Phoenix.
Scottsdale.
we had a
bodyguard back in the day, and his name was Dale. I think his name is Dale. Yeah.
What a great bodyguard name.
Scottsdale. And he talked like this. You know, not really, but he made me go.
Whose Dale is it?
Scottsdale. Yeah. Scottsdale, yeah. Oh, it's, then it's Scottsdale. It's not your Dale. No, I meant, yeah.
By the way, bodyguard names have to be like one syllable, four letter, like.
Vic, Val.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ron.
Right? Earl.
Earl. Skip.
Skip.
Maybe.
It's more of a.
That's more of like a.
More of a production manager.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe the sound guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, your guy's is Vic. You can't get much better than that.
Yeah, yeah. He's top shelf.
Somebody resent me that video. I didn't watch it since the cruise of him body slamming
you?
Me.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit, dude. I didn't realize. It took me back there, and I was like, oh, yeah, we practiced it once, but like when we actually did it, because I told him, I was like, dude, lay into me. And like his eyes got wide and like kind of licking his lips. Where he was because you know, some of the girls are so crazy on that cruise in a good way. And I was like, dude, the harder you lay me out, these girls are going to go nuts because they're going to be like,
oh my God.
Because all the girls, like, as much fun as they're having, there's all they all, it's also just human nature. You see somebody when you're not as effed up or whatever, right. And you see somebody that is, and maybe they get in your way or they cut in line or something.
Right.
It's
you want
inevitable.
Them to get knocked over.
Part of you is just like, it'd be great if they fell on the stairs right now or got taken out by Vic.
Yeah.
So I was kind of, you know, taking one for the team. But, yeah, Scottsdale. I go to Arizona. Or Hawaii is pretty cool.
Nice. Nice.
Austin, Texas is a great.
My wife is jonesing for Hawaii with the kids, and we're so close. So it's like maybe we'll go there before we leave. This will not be our last podcast.
No.
So I'm not worried about like, you know,
having a goodbye
wrapping
one?
It up. No, wrapping dude. It up.
Also, what's no need for
it's
that.
To wrap. It's not wrapped.
What are you wrapping up?
No, we just like press mute.
Yeah,
that'll be the end of the.
Love that. Oh yeah.
Because we could.
Yeah,
and that would be the end of it
for sure.
Yeah.
Also, like, I ain't trying to do a podcast where you're like, "All right, man, I'll see you on you know next time," and then I start crying and then,
you know. Don't do that. Santa's passed out, so we can't say he finally passed out.
I wish I know. It's probably for the best, though.
Yeah, yeah. Just let him.
Should we draw something on his face? That's a pastime that's not going anywhere. That's how just barbaric
glue his
dudes are.
Beard to the rug.
Did you ever in your? Just the fact that you took it up a notch is why dudes are awesome. You know what I'm saying? Because girls don't do that. Like the drawing of like a dick on a forehead. Like I guarantee you, in the history of the world, no girl is ever like, "Quick, Chrissy fell asleep. Somebody draw a clit on her chin." Like no one's like they don't think in terms of that. Like we're like, you passed out first. You're gonna pay for it.
Oh my!
Like you shut down the party.
Yeah.
Hey, 4th of July, doing that with you, right? Didn't we lock that in?
You coming out?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, amazing, dude. Done.
I mean, I don't know. You know.
In. You're in.
The invite seemed genuine.
No.
And the accept.
Oh, shit. Did I say that?
That's what I wanted to say on the podcast. So you wouldn't have to.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Indeed. Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah.
All right, man.
All right. Well, this is great.
Well, to be continued, obviously.
Duh.
Thank you. And thank you for spurring this on. And
dude, I
Eric,
got you.
Eric's been a great help. Shout out to
he's
Eric.
He's great, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the man.
Yeah. No nonsense.
No nonsense.
Yeah.
Straight shooter.
Not trying to be my friend. You know what I mean? You know.
You got enough friends.
Yeah, yeah. Not trying to, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are super helpful and you're like, ah, shit, what are they going to want from me?
You know? For sure.
Doesn't want much. He seems like a busy guy.
Yeah. He could be a closeted blockhead. You don't know. Maybe when a concert comes back around.
I think everybody really is. Even
they really are.
Know it. Yeah.
Dude, you know when I first became buds with you and I told my dad, I think it was after I met you at the... which, is, by the way, is a crazy story. Do people even know? Let me just say it real quick. The way we met. Well, think about it in terms, like, we didn't shoot any scenes on the heat together.
No.
So that premiere party in New York, right?
It was in L.A.
No, it was in New York, dude.
No. It was at Fox. It was at Fox. Weren't you in... Yeah.
But real briefly, there was a screening. There was a cast screening in L.A. But here was our meeting.
Oh, sorry.
What's up?
You want to forget
What's
about
up?
That?
Dude, a what's up?
Yeah, what's up?
I can give out what's ups all day.
No.
So can you.
You don't say what's up to anybody. You're very warm, and you were like, weren't you like right in front of me, sitting in the row in front of me?
I don't know. I was sitting next to Bill Burr, and he was ranting about going to the grocery store late at night, and
oh.
I was cracking up
because
it sounded like a bit. He's like, hey, go. I was like,
yeah.
He's like, hey, go to the grocery store.
Well, I remember you, Adam. You don't really remember me
at
from
LA.
Anyways, let's
at the
pretend
screening,
that didn't happen.
No, New York was so, when we conversed.
At the premiere?
Yes.
Okay.
Because of the screening, the friends and family screening thing was so quick.
Yeah, okay.
Because I remember, so. Too, my sister was like, did you meet him? I was like, yeah, but it was just so quick.
Yeah.
And then New York, the premiere party, and in my eyes, I'm like, this could be the last thing I ever get to do. I'm not leaving this party until they kick me out.
Right.
I'm going to keep drinking. And so the end of the night.
It was at the Time Warner Center,
no, it was,
right?
Yes, yeah, in New York.
That building,
yeah. And so the end of the party is the staff.
Ben Affleck took a selfie with me. He asked me to take a selfie with
that's
Ben Affleck.
Dope.
Yeah. I should have tweeted it, but I didn't want to be that guy. I'm like, look, I got Ben Affleck.
You still got that picture?
I must.
You got to throw back Thursday that shit real quick.
Yeah.
So it's Ben Affleck, Joey McIntyre, myself, Allison Jones, the casting director, her niece and nephew, my best friend from the fifth grade, Anthony Ariema, and a couple other people. And that was it at the end of the night.
Really?
And so I remember going up to you, and you and I both still had a whiskey, and I was just like, I can't believe you're still fucking here. I haven't talked to you. And we started talking, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to be in Seattle next weekend doing stand-up, and you guys are there the following week. I'm going to take my sister. I go, I already got tickets, but like, man, she's such a... You think I could bring her back and say what up? You go, dude, body. Yeah, don't even get tickets. Like, oh, fucking, I got you. Like, dude, you set me up, and I brought like her and all her friends, and like that was crazy. Yeah. But like, had we not stayed at the end of the night like that, like, how else do you, you know, we're not sitting here right now doing the move. The move doesn't even exist.
That's right. Oh, now you're claiming. Now you're putting the stamp right on there. You just wrote a penis on my forehead.
Metaphorically.
Yeah. I love you, buddy.
I love you, man. This is the best.
You know I do.
Yeah.
And thanks for sharing.
You need a theme song, by the way.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I'm going to write it. You know, because my first iPod, podcast, I just went all in and started with Nirvana and ended with Frank Sinatra. And then I was like, can't you? I thought podcasts could just use any music, like some radio station. It's like, no, you can't. So, you know, I'm not getting paid for this podcast because it's free. You
right.
know what I mean? You know, for now.
You
until,
need a theme
you
song.
Know, Pepsi gives me $1 million or
they
something.
Will.
But
even crystal clear Pepsi, you'll take.
Yeah, but I can make my own. But I'd rather you have it.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Here it comes.
Oh, shit.
Is it wrong?
No, wait.
Is this it? That's pretty good. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Here it is.
Big deep breath in, everybody. And out. And welcome to the move. Wow. This is beautiful.
Wait.
Wow. No, I like it. I think it's meant to be. This is my theme song. I don't care
is
what
it?
You end up at.
No, here it is.
Here's
your
is.
Theme song. Ready?
Yeah. Awesome.
Yep.
Will you do the intro?
I'll give you one verse.
Making my way to my headphones, I'm gonna listen to a podcast with my favorite blockhead. Joey Mac, I'm a Joey girl. He's got a podcast, he's the best in the world. Yeah, oh, it's called The Move. And I listen to it. Oh, it's on iTunes. And I hope I can meet him if he just respond to my Facebook messages or retweet one of my 20,000 selfies. Oh, I know he knows that I exist. Anyway, The Move Podcast. Yeah.
Welcome, everybody, to The Move.
Yeah.
That's my theme song. And
I mean, a version of it. Look, it's...
That's it,
that's
dude.
Take one.
Welcome, everybody. We're going to put that... Now we're starting the interview because that is...
Yeah,
that,
take that, put it at the top.
Put it at the top.
It's your theme song.
Of every podcast from now
not
on.
Not a bad idea. Not a great idea,
well,
not a bad idea.
Listen,
I could spend many, many hours trying to think of the funniest, dopest, craziest, most awesome in any way.
Yeah.
And nothing will touch that. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm honored. All right, buddy.
And hopefully they won't sue us for that, or?
No, it's an instrumental. It's also a karaoke version. You can't get sued over a karaoke version.
Okay, hopefully not.
Also, I'm sure Vanessa is also a blockhead, and she would be pumped to hear you
and that,
doing
a parody. Well, they got sued for that.
She did?
Yeah.
What?
No. Yeah.
Vanessa Carlton got... That's been used?
That's the bank commercial.
The bank
commercial? Yeah, and Ron... what's his name? He produced it. He's a Canadian. Ron... Ron Frey? Ron Fear.
Ron Fear.
Ron Fear produced it. Big, big producer. Very
What's
successful.
What's the bank version?
It's Bank of Omaha.
Jesus. Well, you got to tip your hat to Vanessa Carlton. She's like, no one's going to know the Bank of Omaha theme song.
So will they come after us, too?
Fuck no, dude.
Ron Fear... might let me slide, Vanessa.
Dude.
But that's Bank of Omaha money coming at you.
Yikes. Yeah, that's, you don't want to fuck
with
the Bank of Omaha.
Let's see. Let's wait for the cease and desist.
Love that. That's a great attitude.
Okay. All right. Welcome.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.